proceed with our consideration of the message of the letters of Paul to Timothy. And you will have recognized that our method is that of arriving at the import and the significance of these letters, not necessarily going through them in the way of exposition. Of course, we keep closely to what is written here, but what we are seeking to do is to derive the inclusive import. That is, the spiritual message we are leaving out quite a lot of technical data. We're not discussing problems which are purely technical in relation to the letters. We're saying nothing about the controversy as to whether Paul wrote those or not. We're saying nothing about the time space between the two letters of the first and second imprisonment. Such like things are just being left out of our consideration. There are a number of them, but they really don't affect the purpose that is in view. We want to get right to the resultant message of these letters having been written at all, why they were written, and at what time in the history of the church. I'm going to take you back again to the point where we commenced yesterday afternoon in our reference to the boards of the tabernacle in the wilderness. When we saw God's provision for reinforcing the turning point, the corners with an extra board, because turning points, angles, corners are always danger spots. The Lord has always made special provision for such points. Turning points in the course of his people's history. If something to be taken up, if ever you are disposed to do so, in the Bible, you will see how true that is. I have only to remind you, by way of instance, of the first chapter of the book of Joshua. You could not have any chapter in the Bible which is a greater reinforcement of everything, taking up the past to carry it on to the future, and you know that that was a big turning point from the wilderness into the land. And it certainly did want strengthening, or it wanted strength to turn that corner and negotiate that crisis safely. Well, now, in using this illustration of the type of gain, find that I just want to afresh indicate is this, that the corners of the tabernacle did set for the arrival at a certain point which had a part. That point had a part. Things moved up to that point. And from that point, there was a future. A new phase. A new course. In the road, so to speak, as illustrated. And the reinforcement at the corner was a taking up of what had been up to that point. And saying, now look here, we must safeguard that. We must confirm that. We must ratify that. We must be quite sure that that does not suffer loss or is allowed any weakness. In order that everything that is yet to be shall take up those values and continue them in strength. For God does not intend a fundamental change in things, a change of character, a change of nature, at any point. He just means that all that he has done and given shall be carried on safely and in strength to the next and through the next phase. You see the point? If you just grasp that, you will see what we are going to say this afternoon. How it is just that being done in the history of the church. Now when you come to these letters of Paul to Timothy, recognizing them to be the last writings of the apostle, which in itself is a corner being turned, one phase closing and another phase coming. And you know, it was like that when Paul went. Things changed when Paul went. Things changed. And Paul himself was conscious of things changing. And because of that, he wrote as he did to Timothy. These letters are therefore a reinforcing of things, a taking up of what has been, and confirming and consolidating for the future. At any rate, that is what God meant by these letters. And so, when you take them up, you find what we may call a large retrospective feature in them. A look back and a taking up of the past. A taking of Timothy back, right back to the beginning. The beginning of Christianity and the beginning of Timothy's work and ministry. Paul takes him back to both of those things. Whether we shall be able this afternoon to speak of both will remain to be seen. But we'll take one. To retrospect as to the beginning of Christianity, which is Christ. To retrospect to Christ. Here is a very strong and a very comprehensive rollback of Paul to Christ in two fragments, and are they fragments? One just a recall, and the other a very inclusive statement. One in the second letter, chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. We could leave it there, that's enough. To add, if you like, risen from the dead of the seed of David, according to my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ. We have come to a crisis. We have come to a turn. We have come to a point where things are changing. What is our safeguard at this point? Remember Jesus Christ. It's only a way of saying, bring him into view again. That is always God's method at any crisis. Bring Christ into view again. Whether it's a personal crisis in our own spiritual lives, remember Jesus Christ. How often the apostle resorted to that means and method of dealing with difficult situations. Philippi, for instance, where there was some trouble, some disagreement, some lack of single-mindedness. Paul resorted to this method. Remember Jesus Christ has this mind in you, which was in Christ. Now I dare not enlarge upon that, gather up all the material upon that point, but you look again. The big turning point which we come to in the beginning of the book of the Revelation. Oh, what a turning point in the church's history was the book of the Revelation. Remember that the beginning of that book is a representation of Jesus Christ comprehensively and matchlessly. Remember Jesus Christ. It's always like that. You're having a bad time. Your time is so bad, it's creating a real crisis for you. Remember Jesus Christ. The greatest help in every such time. Is there some trouble between you and another Christian? Remember Jesus Christ. Is there trouble in the assembly? Remember Jesus Christ. Greatest corrective is to remember Jesus Christ. But here is this other great statement in the first letter, chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness or godlikeness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up in glory. That's Christianity, in a nutshell, as we say. It's a comprehensive and inclusive representation of everything upon which Christianity rests.
cho thờ chẳng cho tôi. Vì thế nhớ nhanh 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 tôi cho thờ chẳng cho tôi.
Thank you.
was and Jesus is stepping possibly because of some corruption. Corruption is coming into the church. They're using it yet. I'm trying to get out yesterday. Corruption. Now I have to do it. All the pastors saying, put your hands to this Christ, he is going to be leading you. He's going to get back to Christ's day. Corruption. You are going to be saved in the life of God. What are you going to do about it? Remember Jesus Christ, you clear of your sins. You will have another life. You have another life by Christ. And you've got to live on the basis of that life. And you've got to remember that it is not necessary for you to be corrupted. Not necessary for you to be corrupted. You have a new life, and you have a life of God. You see God's mother of God, dead and corrupted, falling. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember that in Jesus Christ, there is that which went through all corruption and Jesus. And you do, yes, you do, and let you see God in heart, who is actually doing it. For God, God is working out only in the midst of time and the law. Well, we believe that it's simple. You may find faith. What is it? Simple. Now that miracles have a Christian life, and we can be subjected to all the faith and all the power, all the power to be the leader of this world of God, will go on and say, it's a miracle. The miracle of a Christian. Faith and corruption is a failure. Remember? Well, I have a different life in that. Remember that now? Well, that's not for you. That's not your way. They are not the way of Christ. And it's not something you're going to find by law, something you need by God. Thank God for this man, the young woman. The young lady is now starting to be experienced as a grass into this world. Here it goes. And we are surrounded by men. Right in the Christians are real men of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for the end. Now, I feel it's a massive time for God. I have a commitment to the Father of man with you to be God.
Do you know what it is?
university. We have to work for the government. Hard and long. For the students. Mother and the others. For food and women. Who did not obey? The only thing to put aside and make it and give a new day if that's not missing that mother of us. If we're going to go out of the right yet, we couldn't afford a lot of it. We have no way to make it. And to work a little bit of pain, it's tested. Now, so far this man with knowledge, life is powerful. The story and the doctrine, all the things that are going to show, the story, it is all the libraries that have been written on in and to save. The story comes down, and then the argument that we said that, and that, we still have not found it. Everybody will acknowledge that we will be at home. A very, very large letter. Because all it was not the mind of the spirit. To something other and something different and something else. There are any questions the self has got the answer. We know the magic, that difference is universal between Christ and all knowledge of the people and the difference between every different kind of God and the wisest among men. Remember Jesus Christ. Oh, there is a thought and a kind of knowledge. By which we can be God through with all the patience of this world's knowledge in our possession, a kind of knowledge. Are you wondering why I'm from that center on this side? What I'm looking at the patience of, I want you to understand that unless we have this kind of knowledge, this spiritual understanding, this spiritual intelligence, this is evident, it is given, it is given. This is an individual in the sense in what God resists you, what is God, how we have a Christian life and experience and the work of God, we need to understand and love and the understanding in this world to get around this subject. How are we going to do this with you? Then have you ever taken with us too? I'm not
effect upon people. And they have used one word by which they sum it all up: tremendously strong personality. Well, you can think that if you like, but that isn't the answer. That is not the answer. His influence, his impact, was something other than the psychic, and something other than just a strong personality. It was essentially spiritual. You see, disembodied or embodied spirits recognized his presence. Spirits. Demons cried out in his presence as a registration upon the spiritual world. This is not psychic. These are actual entities and intelligences. I'm not going to say a lot about that, but what I want to say is this, what I'm getting to is this, that influence is not just a matter of your having a strong personality or being able to make a strong psychic or registration wherever you are. That's a false conception of influence. You may be, so far as men are concerned in this world, without the training of the schools and all the values of a rich education, you may have had nothing in your birth and inheritance and upbringing to make you an important person or a strong character. And yet, dear friends, you may exercise a tremendous influence. A tremendous influence. You may count for something more than all that. It is true again, and here is the miracle of it all, that God has chosen the weak things. The weak things. And the things which are not. He may destroy, may nullify, bring down the things that are wise, the things that are strong, the things that are. When you think of it, it's so often a very, humanly speaking, insignificant little person who is counting. Counting tremendously. For God, there's a difference. A great difference between human influence, natural influence, and spiritual influence. Testimony is beginning to lose out, to lose its influence. Oh, we find it in the churches, in the book of the Revelation. Testimony has lost its power and its influence in the world. And so it is today, so largely. What is the remedy? It is, as we have been trying to say all through this conference, it is the recovery and the reinforcement of spirituality. A spirituality. Spirituality is a tremendous power. Really spiritual people, be they what they may, from this world standpoint, really spiritual people, the people that count, the people of influence, and they're the people that are needed in this world, spiritual men and women. God needs them for the preserving and carrying on of His testimony. Reinforce spirituality. Remember Jesus Christ, because you can only account for Him in His knowledge, in His influence, as in every other way. You can only account for Him by the anointing of the Spirit. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with Him. We are anointed. And we have the anointing. We are supposed to have the same anointing. So His authority, to use the word of the scriptures, His authority was not personality, it was spiritual authority. And oh, how we need that. His judgment of things, His power of discrimination, His insight was not just human sagacity, not just a high level of human shrewdness. No, His judgment is spiritual wisdom. I have only to mention it, and you will call so much to mind. This is just what Paul argued out thoroughly in his first letter to the Corinthians. All these points. Well, we could go on, but the point is this. Jesus Christ, Jesus, the anointed, so that's the meaning of Christ, the anointed is different and superior. And what was true of Him then is true today. he needs in these ways to be brought, shall I say, up to date and to be brought right into every spiritual crisis. Wisdom, understanding, power, judgment, everything else. Remember Jesus Christ. Yes, fall by the anointing. And dear friends, surely you do feel about all this. If your hearts beat with pause, if you have any sense whatever of the real need today in the church, amongst God's people, yes, and in yourself, because of things as they are, as they have become, or as they are threatening, you can take up Paul's concern. You see, this man got poured out his heart in the letter. There's something of a yearning, if not a breaking heart, in the way in which Paul here says, Oh, Timothy, God, that holy thing. Oh, Timothy. That cry, that ejaculation, that bursting forth of his heart, which is found through the letters in other forms, not in that language, is just Paul tremendously concerned about this matter of spiritual life. The reinforcing of spirituality. That's what it is. We all share that concern with Paul today. We all feel like that. Here's a man tremendously concerned. Are you concerned about spiritual things? Are you? Are you concerned about the way things are taken? Speaking generally? The depression, the departure, the diversion, the dropping down, the differences since the beginning? Are you concerned? Well, remember that it must be an intelligent concern. An intelligent concern. Not just a sighing and a groaning over it, but knowing what the cure is, what the remedy is, what the solution is, and what is it? Reinforcement of spirituality in ourselves and in the Lord's people. That's what we are here for. That's all in this conference and what this place is for. To seek by the grace of God to bring about an increase of spiritual stature, a measure in the people of God, no other object. Lord, give us the concern of his soul in this matter.